again, it is good to see everyone here. We're grateful to have visitors in our midst. We hope that our time is spent in honoring and praising God. For when we do that, we will benefit. We will grow. We will increase. And we will learn. That second psalm we sing, "It is well with my soul." Well, this morning we want to ask the question, is it well with my soul? Well, at least talk about that question. We've been studying in the Corinthian letters from the Apostle Paul, and we've talked about many of the things that he discusses with them. And as he comes to the close of the second letter, and I realize I'm giving spoilers to our Wednesday night Bible class here, but it'll be all right. As he comes to the close of the second letter, we see the term's not the same, but similar language to what we've seen in some of the things we've studied. And basically he says, you take a look at yourself and see if you're where you're supposed to be. If you're what you used to be. Because if I get there, I'm going to rebuke you if you're not. And of course, as I said, we've heard similar things from the Apostle Paul as we've studied, especially in this second Corinthian letter. The first one was telling them, you've got a lot of problems, you better get them straightened out. But in this one, he says, you need to keep examining yourself. And we need to recognize that he's writing to those who have already corrected some things, already set some things right, as we studied just this past Wednesday night. He had received a report from Titus that they had set things right in accordance with the letter that he had sent them the first time, or the what we call 1 Corinthian letter. Now he says, you need to keep doing that. You know, it's real easy for us to examine others. It doesn't take much at all for us to look at someone and say, they need to work on this. Or even, they're real good at that. But when it comes to looking at self, when it comes to considering me and how I'm doing, well, as long as it's good things, I'm pretty good at it, right? But when we recognize that we're not just looking to see what's right, we have to look to see what's wrong. There, we sometimes have a little trouble. It's not quite so much fun to find my wrongs as it is to find, say, my brother's wrongs. But that's what Paul tells us to do. Paul says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. And I think maybe that is one of our more neglected duties sometimes. And no matter how hard the task may be, we need to follow the teachings of Scripture. So we want to talk this morning about some characteristics of this examination that Paul calls upon us to do. And I want to mention that over this last year, some of us have had a little extra time to look at ourselves. And based on some of the things I've seen, we've done a real good job of telling what's wrong with everybody else and what's right with everybody else. But have we done that with ourselves? And one of the things I think we as Christians should be doing regularly, but especially now, how did I improve since this time last year? Because all of us know we've had more time to work on ourselves over the last year because we hadn't had so much time spent with one another. So how have I improved myself over the last year? Have I grown? Have I increased? Am I stronger in something? Or do I see that I'm lacking in some things? And I think there are certain characteristics that this kind of an examination have that we need to make sure that we are keeping in mind as we go about taking this examination. And the first one I want us to notice is it's a personal examination. It's me looking at me. Now, that doesn't mean that there might not be others involved in this examination from time to time. But first and foremost, what the Apostle Paul is talking about is me looking at me, because I'm the one that's going to be held responsible for what I have done. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but because I think it's a pretty obvious thing. But remember, the Israelites were told the soul that sins, it will die. The Son won't suffer the iniquity of the Father, nor the Father suffer the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. We often quote this verse in dealing with Calvinism and the idea of inherited sin, but it's much more powerful than that. It's a verse, it's a statement made to the Israelites that carries over into the New Testament scriptures, that reminds us that I am responsible for me. In fact, I am responsible for everything about me. And nobody else can get the credit or take the blame for what I have done. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And you know, sometimes when we read that, and there's great relief, because that means our wives aren't going to be the ones telling God how bad we were. Our brothers or our sisters, our parents, our friends aren't going to be the ones giving God a list of things that we didn't. We're the ones that get. But we're going to have to be held accountable for what we did, no matter who calls it out. There's grave responsibility placed upon us as an individual for our individual situation, and we need to be aware of that. And so it needs to be a personal examination. We also need, as we're considering this idea of examining ourselves, to acknowledge and understand that there's a right way. There's a proper standard. First, we need to recognize the question is not how strong I am, how intelligent I am, how kind I am, how prosperous I am, or how popular I am. The question that Paul wants us to ask ourselves has nothing to do with what men see of us in worldly terms. He said, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. The question I'm asking, am I faithful to God? And that means I can't use my own standard. I have to use God's standard. This self-examination is not, how do I think I'm doing? This self-examination is, what does God see about what I'm doing? We can't use the standards of men. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord through Isaiah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When I start holding myself accountable to my own ideas, I'm going to come out pretty good. I'm going to at least make a B on that exam. Because I'm probably not going to ask enough of the right kind of questions. Or I'm not going to look very hard. Because I'm going to use the standard of me. And while I examine me by my standard, I might make a B. If I start looking at me by God's standards, I might find I don't have enough points to even count. Because my standard is nowhere near as strict as the standard God has given. It's not a standard that's hard to meet. The Scripture makes it clear that God has not given us anything that we can't do. But it's a much higher standard than I'm going to hold to myself. And if I am holding myself to a high standard, it's not because it's my standard. It's because I'm using the standard of God. I can't use the standard of other men either, by the way. because their thoughts aren't as high as God's thoughts either. It's foolish for us to trust our own feelings. The wise man tells us in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We also need to recognize that it's not sufficient for us to compare ourselves with others. Any others. Because we may be comparing ourselves to a spiritual weakling. We're comparing ourselves to a less than perfect standard. Every time I think about this idea and consider this, I remember, well, I probably heard it first from my dad, but I've heard it from lots of different people. If you're cutting off a bunch of boards and you want to make them all the same length, you measure them all by the same standard. You don't cut the first board and then take the first board and use it to mark the second board and cut the second board and use the second board to mark the third board and cut it and third board for the fourth board and so on and so on. If that's what you do, you're going to end up with stair steps on the end. Because each board is going to be just a little bit different than the one before it. And by the time you go through a dozen boards, you're probably going to be able to lay your finger, maybe several fingers down, in the difference between those two boards. So I can't judge myself by men. I can't use the standard even of a righteous man as my guide in this examination. Again, to the Corinthian brethren, Paul says in chapter 10 and verse 12 of 2 Corinthians, not that we dare classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves to one another, they are without understanding. In this examination, I can't do something that's going to leave me without knowledge. I've got to go back to the standard. That's why when I'm cutting boards that I want to be the same length, I use the exact same tape measure on every board. Or I measure it off and I put me a stop here and the saw blades here on the saw and I lay that board up there and I cut it off and I throw it to the side and I put the next one up there and I cut it off. And you know, sometimes after I've done two or three boards, I'll take my tape measure back out and measure to my stop again because I don't have one of them fancy saws that locks down really tight. I'm using hand clamps. And my standard may not be where it's supposed to be, but God's standard is perfect. It will not change. It's a solid stop. We have to use the standard God's given us. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. There's our standard. What did Christ say? And of course we remember, Jesus told his apostles, those that hear you hear me. Just like those that hear me hear the Father. You'll be guided in all truth. You'll have perfection in your statements as you are guided by the Holy Spirit. So what we read from the inspired writers of the New Testament Scriptures, especially those who were the apostles of our Lord, such as Peter and Paul and John, we can trust as being according to God's standard. But notice what Paul said. He said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And I think sometimes we look at that and we say, well, Paul's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. But really, I think more importantly for us, Paul's saying, follow me like I follow Christ. Don't follow me. Follow me in the example of following Christ. Because Christ is the standard, not Paul. Follow Christ. And we have sufficient examples of Christ found in the pages of Scripture. We have direct commands from Christ that tells us how to act in particular situations. We have the apostles engaged in the practices that they were given to do, and we have examples of that, that the apostles approved of. And through reading and studying those things, we can come to know exactly what God would have us to do in every situation of life. So we need to examine ourselves by the standard that God has left for us. And we need to examine ourselves thoroughly. To tie this back in with our last point, thoroughly means by every single part of the standard. Brother Bill there used to work in the as an electrician. But he still does when he can't get out of it. But when he was doing that work regularly, whenever he went to do that, he couldn't follow one part of the standard and ignore the rest. If it was inconvenient to route the wires the particular way the standard said they should be routed, he had to deal with that inconvenience. He couldn't take a shortcut and bypass that part of the standard and still meet the standard. The same thing is true of us. We're given a complete standard for our entire life, and we have to be thorough in making certain that we're following the whole standard, not just parts and pieces of it. In fact, that's where a great number of our religious friends fail. They pick out the parts that are easy, the parts that agree with what they want to do, and then they ignore the parts that they don't like. Well, they're not following the standard. They're following themselves. It just happens that the parts they are doing agree with that part of the standard. But it's not standard unless it's following all. It needs to be thorough. We also need to recognize this idea of being thorough is not just we follow all the standard, but we investigate ourselves completely. All the way through, from top to bottom. We can't assume that we're in the faith. Really, that's one of the basics of what Paul is saying here. You cannot assume you are in the faith. You have to check to see. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. We have to prove it to ourselves. Test yourselves, he says. I think the old King James says, prove yourselves. We need to have the attitude that David has as expressed in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. When's the last time you got down on your knees or bowed your head or raised your arms up to heaven and said, God, help me find my wrong? That's part of being thorough in our examination. Of course, we recognize he's not going to send that voice down from heaven while you're looking up to him and say, well, here's where you messed up. He expects you to go into his word where he's told you what to do and find those mistakes so that you can correct them. That's what David is saying. Lord, search me. And I'm confident that David was not asking God to directly intervene and tell him, here's where you messed up. David knew that he could go to the word that God had delivered to guide him. He had his own personal copy of the law and the prophets. And he could go there and find out where his mistakes were. But he asked God to guide him in that. Show me where I messed up. Because as the wise man tells us as he closes his discourse on the wastefulness of life, the vanity, he says, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Have you ever prayed, God, would you please forgive me of any sins that I may have committed that I'm not aware of? I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing to do. But along with that, we need to make sure that we ask God to make us aware, help us see those things so that we can correct them. And then we have to get busy with the process of looking for them. I am confident that if I have any things that are not right in the sight of God, that need to be corrected, and I have an attitude and desire to find those things so that I can correct them, study of the Word of God and prayer to my Father in heaven will help me find them so I can set them right. I'm not going to wake up one morning with a list down beside my pillow. Not from God anyway. If my wife hears me praying about those things and she knows about a few, she might give me a list. We'll talk about that in a minute. It needs to be thorough. We need to look diligently. We need to ask God to help us. We need to be looking to grow stronger and stronger for the Lord every single day. Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Y'all know what that follows, right? Where he rebuked them for not being any more knowledgeable than they were. For not being ready for some of the teaching that he was wanting to give. And reminded them that those who mature had their senses exercised by study and application of the commands and teachings they've been given. We need to keep trying. Solomon in Ecclesiastes comes to the final conclusion that no matter what we try to do in life, the only thing that's going to matter is whether we serve God faithfully in all parts of life. We need to not just look for our strong points and say, okay, hey, I'm strong in here. I don't have to worry about that. No, when we find strong points, we need to keep working on them, see if they can't get a little stronger. But we also need to look for our weak points, for our problems, so we can set them right. In fact, isn't that what we do with most inspections and examinations, is look for our weak points? If you go to buy a house and you have somebody inspect it, you don't just want him telling you how good it is. You want him to let you know if the water heater's all rusty on the bottom. Or if the sill on the back side that you can just barely see from looking underneath it has got rottenness halfway across it. You want to know about their weak points as well as the strong. The same is true of us in our life and our service to God. It needs to be thorough. And we need to be honest. When we examine ourselves, we have to be honest, or the examination is no good. We are prone to apply easy and partial tests. We go and check one thing. Well, that's good, and I'm good there, so I must be all right. We're going to be tempted to examine in light of our favor, to make us look good, to dwell on our strong points, ignore our weak points, but we need to recognize and understand that our sins will find us out, if not now, in judgment. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I know that's a warning to the Israelites over in the book of Numbers, but remember, God will bring everything out in judgment. I will be held accountable for what I have done, some of the passages we've already looked at. It's always best to admit our sins, obtain forgiveness, and do what's necessary in order to correct them. And here's where our testing ourselves, I think, needs to include some others. Not that we test somebody else, but we ask somebody else to test us. When I look at myself and I see my weaknesses and my strengths, I see where I'm growing and where I'm not. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody who cares and is concerned about my well-being take a look as well, so they can show me where I have strengths and weaknesses and maybe compare those two lists? Or are we afraid that the strong list on my side is going to be a lot longer than the strong list on, say, my wife's side for me? And the weak list on my side is going to be very short compared to the weaknesses list my wife might give me for me. And I use my wife with purpose. Remember, God made Eve as a help suitable for Adam in the garden. Now, she and Adam both failed miserably at that. But they were to help one another. They're there to assist us, and we're there to assist them. That's one of the strengths we have in the marriage relationship, that we have two people helping each other. Some don't have that because their spouse is passed on, but you have family. That might be willing to assist, to give you an outside view. See, examining ourselves doesn't mean I'm the only one that can look. I need to listen to others. What about what my brother or sister said about something 2-3 months ago that I just kind of pushed off on the side? Didn't think much about. But now that I'm examining myself and looking diligently, that comes back to mind. Isn't that a help in getting things right with God? Or finding a place where I'm strong, where I can be of more help to others because I'm strengthened in that area? Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. But look at James 5 and verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And I know that's from the standpoint of me talking about my weaknesses to a brother or sister, but it's a reminder that we're in this together to help one another. We need to accept the advice, the concerns, and the praise that we receive from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some basic questions that we need to consider when we're doing this thorough and honest obligation. And some folks are going to say, well, now wait a minute, I've been doing that all my life, but have I obeyed from the heart the gospel? Does my heart still show that I believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? Paul spoke to the Romans in Romans 6:17. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. But he also gives them a warning to make sure they don't become the slaves of sin again. Does my heart still belong to God? Am I living faithfully as a Christian? My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Am I steadfast? And am I sacrificing for the cause of Christ? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, Romans 12 and verse 1, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's no way to get around that word. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And we know enough about Old Testament sacrifices to understand what that's about. It wasn't of what was left over it was of the best. It wasn't of the end of the harvest, it was of the first of the harvest. Am I sacrificing? Am I a living sacrifice for Christ? We need to be honest in our examination, and we need to keep at it. We need to examine continually. It's going to be like that week little John had a couple weeks ago where he had a test every class he went in almost every day, it seemed to him. But it's not going to end at the end of that week. It's something that's going to have to keep going on. Every day we need to look at ourselves. And sometimes we need to take a little extra time and take a little deeper look on a regular basis. You know, like it or not, all of us, to some degree or another, have been looking at our finances over the last couple of months, or the last few days, or maybe you're going to do it in the next couple of weeks. Because it's that time of year, isn't it? We don't get a choice. We've got to at least look at it to see where we are so we can report to the government. But do we take a spiritual accounting every year? Do we stop and look at, here's where I was last year, here's where I am now? It's a continual thing. Every year, every day, every week, every month. Just because a businessman gets a good inventory one year doesn't mean he's going to get a good one the next year. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Yes, I hear, physician, heal thyself. Preacher, listen to what you're saying. Practice what you preach. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If we walk in the light, and that walk in the light is not take a step in the light from time to time. It's not wander over there every now and then. It is live our life in the light, a continuous action. Now, I don't remember all the Greek tenses that we talked about in class before, except to remember that it was an ongoing action. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we continue with Him. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That means as long as we are living, we need to be examining whether we are in the faith, no matter what's happening to us. We need to make certain that we are living in accordance with God's law. That means we need to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And so that's the question we have for everyone this morning, from myself all the way back to the back of the room. The question that we ought to ask ourselves regularly, am I in the faith? I guess we could say we don't have the plus in front of us that the Corinthians have, because in that context, as we read, Paul said, if you're not, I'm going to come and straighten you out when I get there. Paul's not going to come and tell us. But we're going to be held accountable before God. There's a day coming when we're going to have to say to God, well, no, we're going to have to hear God say, you were, or you weren't. And hearing you were, which means
you are now means blessing for all eternity in the presence of God. And hearing you weren't, and you still aren't, eternal damnation. The greatest punishment is separation from the Creator for all eternity. And those of us who belong to the Lord now, who know those blessings, who are aware of what is awaiting us, who have hope in heaven, if we get to heaven and find, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew. We're going to spend eternity knowing I had it in my hands, but I didn't hold on to it. And that will happen if we don't continue to examine ourselves. Look this morning. Are there changes that need to be made in your life? Do you belong to the Lord? If not, you have no hope. You're without hope. Only those who belong to the Lord will enter into heaven. And to do that, you've got to turn away from the things of the world. You've got to confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. But before you do that, you've got to know that He's the Son of God. You've got to know what He did for you. And you need to confess Him as your Savior. Then you can be buried in baptism, like He was buried in the grave. Put to death the old man of sin and rise up a new creature who belongs to the Lord. And then the responsibility is to remain faithful, continually examining yourself. And when you find things wrong, pray to God and ask Him to forgive. And He's promised that He will. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we will sin. If you find yourself in a situation where you have sin, we can assist. Opportunity is yours. Come, Lord, stand and sing for your courage.